Well, I had the privilege to introduce Andrew's father last week, and now I get to have the privilege to announce our brother Andrew. I do pray that you be mindful of his desire to serve you this morning, that you would pay attention, put away your phones as we were talking about this morning, and turn them off, and give the time that the Lord is asking from each of you this day to listen to the words in which our brother would have him speak to you today. I'll give to you our brother, Andrew Brown.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I feel like I've been hit by a bus, so I don't feel very well, and I definitely feel my human weakness. But in that, I have come to understand, I know a couple things. Number one, that it doesn't really matter if I don't feel well in life, and my feelings really don't have a lot to do with it, that each of us have responsibilities, and when I have the responsibility to do something, that is what I have to do, and that the Lord will strengthen me in that. The other thing that I've come to understand and know in my life, in opportunities or times of my greatest weakness, physically or whatever it might be, that creates an opportunity for the Lord to bless me even greater. And so I definitely desire your prayers this morning and a little bit of your attention and time. I have, I have three mini-sermons or sermonettes or whatever you'd like to call them today. Maybe they're not as short as I think, so we'll probably look at one, maybe two of them. There's just been a lot of different things that over the past couple months have just kind of been brought to my mind about a lot of different things in the scriptures, about the church and our responsibilities. And this morning I was planning on preaching a sermon that I had preached in Honduras about peace, and I still intend to go into that a little bit, but my thoughts were kind of drawn elsewhere. The time that I had set aside to prepare for this morning was gobbled up with other things, some of the cares of life and different things that plans didn't go exactly how we expected them to, so we had to modify and adapt. And so this morning I had the opportunity to get up early and to prepare a little bit, and my thoughts were kind of led in a different direction. But first off, I'd like to comment on the songs that we sang. As we were singing the song 122, Give Me Thy Heart, that really struck me this morning, that is what the Lord wants us to do, that our heart, or that thing that is inside of us that each of us have that helps us decide what we're going to do, where we're going to go, who we're going to serve, all those different cares and concerns of life, that's what the Lord truly desires of us, that in another manner of speaking, He desires our will, or basically, He desires us to put our will in His hands. So that struck me this morning that most of all, if we align ourselves and give the Lord our heart freely, that is what He truly desires of us. I know in my life there have been many examples of times that I've wanted to go a certain place and do a certain thing. And when I've given that up and placed that in the hands of the Lord, that those things that I wanted to do or places I wanted to go, whatever the case may be, that I got to accomplish those things in a completely different way than I'd ever imagined in my life. The Lord had blessed me in them. The other thing I wanted to comment was in the other song that we sang, How Wonderful, Oh God, How Wonderful Thou Art, in page number, or song number 192. It says in that second verse on the last stanza, it says that, for thou hast stooped to ask of me the love of my poor heart. Once again, that just struck me again, that's what the Lord desires of each of us, to put our cares, our desires, our thoughts, maybe our hopes and dreams aside, and to place our will, or our heart, in His hands, and that He will mold it and make it, and He will guide us and direct us. And life doesn't turn out how we expect. In the little things of life, we have problems and stuff goes wrong. Stuff as simple as flat tires and car trouble and stuff like that, or plumbing problems or whatever the case may be. And in the big things of life, it is it's not different. That a lot of times stuff goes wrong. And because we are human, because we're mortal, we have that natural man inside of us. Many times there's a spiritual flat tire or broken plumbing, whatever the case may be, and we have to fix it. And usually it entails humbling ourselves and asking for forgiveness and placing our heart in the hands of the Lord. This morning, my sermon, the title of it would be The Spirit of God, and we're also going to talk about peace. So the Spirit of God and His peace that He gives us. So I'd like to jump right into it. And we're just going to talk about it. We're going to go through, I have maybe three or four different subtitles, sections about the Spirit of the Lord. This is something that as I was studying this morning, I really feel like is important. And a lot of times we overlook, I know I overlook in my life, but each one of us that have been baptized, we have been given a gift by the Lord of His Holy Spirit, His Holy Ghost. That is something that after we entered the waters of baptism and showed to everyone around us an outward witness to those, our brothers and our sisters, and to the Lord, that we went down into the waters and that we put away all those things in our life, that we came forth out of the water clean, like a little child. And then the second part of that we know is the laying out of hands. We come and we set, and we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and that is an abiding comforter that is part of our lives. A lot of times in my life, I think that, you know, not that I ignore the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, that I just don't avail myself of it like I should. It's something that the Lord gave to us in His absence. We know that when the Lord was here on the earth, when He was in the old land over in Israel, that He came after He rose from the dead and He showed Himself to many people. And He went about and did teachings and many wonderful things. And then He ascended into heaven. And that there were witnesses of that. And we have that record in the Scriptures in the New Testament. And that when He left, He didn't leave us without something in that place. The Holy Spirit was given to each one of us that decide to give our lives to the Lord as that comfort, as that go-to person or that go-to thing in our life when we have troubles and difficulties. I think it has many different functions in our life, that it has a function of peace, of guidance and direction. It can work as a type of conscience, so to speak, to tell us, you know, you shouldn't do that. That's not of the Lord. Or you should do this. And I think a lot of times, especially me personally, I don't ignore it. I just don't avail myself of it. This gift is there. Just like any gift that we receive on a birthday or Christmas. And it's like, wow, this is a wonderful. This is, you know, this is an electric razor or a new tire or whatever the case may be. And it's so great and it's so fantastic. Or a car to a kid, you know, it's so shiny and new and it's amazing. And then maybe in a couple weeks or whatever the case, it gets pushed to the back of the closet and not thought of again. I want to make sure in our lives that we don't do that with the Holy Ghost. And I hope that we're reminded of that every month when we come and we partake of the sacrament and we renew our covenant and we have that opportunity to set ourselves right before the Lord, to gain that strength from that Spirit, to gain that strength from our brothers and our sisters in this congregation and assembling ourselves together. But I know a lot of times I forget day to day that the Lord's Spirit is there as a gift. And I don't want to push it away. You know, when I was first baptized, like a lot of you, you feel this desire, this hunger, this zeal for the Lord to go out and to do His work. And I don't want that to go away. I want to have that desire within my heart continually. And in my life, I need reminders. And sometimes in my life, I can see that I need to go on a missionary trip. I need to go do something. I need to preach a sermon just to get myself aligned spiritually with the Lord once again. And these things in my life are some of the most difficult things that I've done. Not that I've had a difficult life, but that, you know, standing up and preaching and going to different places and dealing with cultures. And it can be exciting, but it can be difficult. But in that difficulty, like I was speaking earlier, I've had the greatest blessings of my life. And so today, we're going to start at the beginning, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. When the Lord was on this land, in the old country, on earth, let's start in the book of Matthew, in the third chapter, and we're going to read a couple different scriptures, in Matthew and John and Acts, in different places about when the Lord was baptized, about that gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that rested upon him. Third chapter of Matthew. And we're going to read verses 13 through 17. It says in verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus went, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is a recorded account, the witness of someone that perhaps they didn't see it directly. Matthew perhaps didn't see it directly. Perhaps he did. I haven't studied that out. But this is a witness of the time of the Lord and Savior entering into the waters of baptism and being baptized by one having authority. It says he came straightway out of the water. And after he came straightway out of the water, that the heavens opened and the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him. And this is that gift that I was speaking of, that we each who have been baptized have received from the Lord. And likewise, when we do this thing to fulfill all righteousness that the Lord has commanded, that I believe the Lord is well pleased with us. That when we humble ourselves, we ask forgiveness of our sins, we come into the waters of baptism, we receive the Holy Ghost, we set our feet upon that path of life, and we fulfill those commandments. We enter that gate that the Lord, as well, is well pleased with us, just like he was pleased with his Son. So we see that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only being that has ever walked this earth, who is sinless, who is without spot, that Lamb of God, he entered into the waters of baptism and received that gift of the Holy Spirit to fulfill all righteousness as an example to each one of us. In the book of John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 8. John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come, and whither it goest. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So here we have another example. Here a Pharisee, an educated teacher of the Jews, came to our Savior and asked him, you know, we know that thou art of the Lord because of the miracles that thou hast done. You know, and he's asking them what he needs to do. And the Savior tells him, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. And without that, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. I also want to talk about the time that a lot of people had been baptized. And this is right after the Lord had ascended into heaven. And the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell upon many. So let's go ahead and turn to Acts, and I'll read it. A time when a lot of the Jews were assembled in one place for a feast. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And I want to establish through the reading of these scriptures that the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the teaching of some of the first apostles, the importance of this gift, that this isn't just something that we receive and get shoved to the back of the closet. This is something that is truly special, something that the Lord has given to each of us. Acts, the second chapter. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. I'm going to read the whole story of what happened. We're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read through 21 of Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and of Judah and of Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, we do hear them all speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell of Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon unto blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord. So this we have, like I was saying, a time when all these different people gathered together from different nations all over the world, places in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, you know, Romans in Europe, Jews and different people. And this is the day that the Lord gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to those men. And when he did, they stood and they prophesied and they spoke in tongues, and mighty miracles and works were wrought. And the point of reading this scripture is that there was a time, number one, is there was a time set aside that the Lord placed that gift, gave it to mankind. And then he gave that authority to his servants to give that gift, which we're going to read about later. The other thing, that with this gift of the Holy Spirit, as it talked about, quoting the prophecy in Joel, that the young men will see dreams and the old men visions, and that this is a great promise, that through this gift of the Holy Spirit, that we as the Lord's people can draw close enough to the Lord to know his will, to hear his voice, to see things that he desires us to see, and most of all, to be an example to the world with those things. This is through the Holy Spirit that he has given unto us. It talks about here, and what I thought very interesting, is a lot of times in the scriptures, women are not mentioned in certain scriptures for whatever reason, the culture of the day or whatever. But here it specifically says, you know, old women and young women and the handmaidens of the Lord, that each one of us, men and women, have the opportunity to receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. And that those things that the Lord promises are for each one of us in our lives. Let's read a verse of scripture in the Book of Mormon. It's actually in the book of Moroni. Chapter 2. And Moroni 2, we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. It says, "The words of Christ, which he spake unto his disciples, the 12 whom he had chosen, as he had laid hands upon them. And he called them by name, saying, Ye shall call on the Father in my name in mighty prayer. And after that ye have done this, ye shall have power that on them whom thou shalt lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost. And in my name shall ye give it. For thus do mine apostles." Excuse me. So we see, and I hope by reading this it gives some background, that this is something that is important that the Lord has given to each one of us in our life. That this gift is far greater than any earthly gift that we could ever receive. That the Lord has set, like he has many times in his scriptures and in his plan, he has set specifics. That you have to be baptized of water. You have to be baptized of one having authority. That you have to be receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by one having authority. And he prescribes the manner. And I was fortunate enough to be a witness of this. I flew back to Kansas City. It's been a couple weeks ago now, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and was able to witness a baptism. And we did this. We knelt in prayer and we asked the Lord that he would bestow upon his servants that ability to, when they placed their hands upon the head of these two individuals, they would receive the Holy Ghost. And I believe that, and I've witnessed it many times, and it gives me joy in my heart because the Lord's Spirit is truly there. When we ask him to and we come before him in the correct manner, as he has prescribed, that his Spirit comes and rests upon his children. So this is the gift that the Lord has given to each one of us. The special gift that we have. Not a one-time thing, but it's a gift that keeps giving, so to speak. We have that in our lives for times to come. So let's look at this gift in our lives. Let's talk about a couple things. We're going to get a little more background. We're going to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Book of Romans, chapter 8, verses, we're going to start in verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So that's important. I think that's something that we can think about in our lives, that after we are baptized and we have put away those fleshly desires, not that we're not going to sin, not that we're not going to fall into temptations and struggles, because we are, because that's our nature. And that's the fight that we have in our lives, is against our nature and against those things. But our goal and desire is that every day we get up in the morning and we make a conscious decision that we're going to walk in the Spirit, that we have to walk physically in this world. We have to do those things of life, our work and our school, for a mom or a dad or a grandparent or whatever. We have responsibilities that we have to take care of, and we can't shirk those responsibilities. But that we get up in the morning and we realize and understand that this is not a struggle for the flesh, but this most of all in our life is a struggle for the Spirit, and that we're keenly aware of those things, that we need to be walking in the Spirit. In the second verse it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh." The plan of salvation and redemption that we spoke of earlier. And verse 4, "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." So, in our life, that we need to mind, or we need to pay attention to those things of the Spirit and not of the flesh. In verse 6, it says, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Speaking of, once again, that natural man, that carnal desire that we have, that we put away those things, that we truly have a renewed mind, that we perceive life completely differently, that we don't think of things like we did before, that if we find ourselves slipping back into thinking of things like the world thinks of things, that we draw ourselves out and we study our scriptures and we ask the Lord to help us to view things as he sees things. Going on. In verse 8 it says, So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but they that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, of right. But of the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raiseth up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So if we sacrifice the fun, so to speak, the things that the world considers fun and entertaining and the things that we should do, if we sacrifice or mortify, if we kill those desires and we live a life, that we will be quickened or we will be brought to life by the Lord. In verse 14 it says, For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if we do these things, our promise from the Lord is we become the children of God in spirit. In verse 17 it says, And if the children, then heirs to God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so, be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of these present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what it's saying there is if we sacrifice these things, and as members of the Church of Christ, if we put these things and we strive in our life to always be moving forward, to put the things out of our life that we know are unrighteous, there are things in my life that I do that I know are wrong. But yet, I persist to do them. And that's not right. And that's not excusable, and that's not justifiable, no matter who does it or whatever in my life. Those things have to be taken out. And if I live a life, as these scriptures lay forth here, taking those things out and focusing on the spiritual, and yes, accomplishing my responsibilities of life, getting up in the morning and doing what I need to do, but knowing that that is not all there is, that knowing that I am living not to obtain earthly wealth, not to obtain glory or fame, not to build houses and buildings and do all these things that in the eyes of the world seem important, but that I'm doing it so I can someday stand before the judgment bar of God and I can answer with a clear conscience and I can hear the words of the Lord speaking unto me, Enter in, thou good and faithful servant, into thy rest. That's desire. And in that last 18th verse holds the key, that these things that we suffer in this life, these things that we sacrifice, especially as young people, it's difficult. You know, growing up at 10 years old, 12 years old, 16 years old, 18 years old, whatever the case may be, that seem fun in our life, that we have to sacrifice, and really, we really don't want to. We can't do these things that everyone else does, and everyone else says is right. That little tiny affliction is nothing compared to the glory of God that will be to come. That if we can just get that mind, that mindset within us, that these things are of naught. The things that seem joyful or that seem fun now are nothing compared to the things to come. And that's what we have to do, walking in the Spirit, that we become the children of the Lord, that we hear those words. Let's turn to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter. Verses 9, we'll start in verse 9, see how far we read. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So the things that we know that we are educated on. You know, we're educated by man. We go to school, we go to college, university, we learn from our parents or whatever. Those are the things that are passed on man to man that we learn. Then going on, it says, For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. The things of the Lord can only be taught, can only be transferred. That transfer of knowledge can only be done by the spirit of the Lord. That is not something that we inherently have. Those things... As I have a scripture here that I was going to read next, but I'll just quote it. And it says, you know, the natural man's an enemy to God. It has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. That those things aren't inherent in us. That we have to get those from outside. That the Spirit of God is that Spirit that teaches us those things that are right. Going on, it says in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but the things which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the things that man thinks he knows and thinks is educated on and smart are of naught compared to God. And those things which are of God sometimes are of naught to the people of the world. And we can't fall into that category. We have to see the value in the things of the Lord, even if it's not popular. In the 15th verse, it says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So, Christ was sent to earth by the Lord to tell us the Lord's mind. Through the spiritual things, the Lord, you know, the Holy Ghost teaches, says in verse 13, that the Holy Ghost teaches them and compares spiritual things to spiritual. That the Lord came, he left us that Holy Ghost to teach us those things of the Lord. Excuse me. Let's move on to another section. The Holy Spirit is a precious gift. We talked about this a little bit before. While we're in 1 Corinthians, let's just go over to the third chapter. Read 16 and 17 only. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. In verse 16, excuse me. So we're going to read 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? So we are the temple of God. And it says here that we should not defile that temple. We, having our own free agency, we have that ability to defile those things of the Lord. But that we are the temple of God because of the Spirit of the Lord that is in us. It's a precious gift. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Just verse 30. Of the fourth chapter says, and grieve not the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Let's read a verse in Alma, the 19th chapter. One verse, verse 8. Yea, and I have seen an angel face to face. It's not the right one. In the ninth verse, I think it's found on page 445. Let's see. Verse 8, excuse me. For behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost when it once hath place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable. It says here in the book of Corinthians that we are the temple of the Lord because of the Spirit of the Lord which dwells in us. It says here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter and the 30th verse, to grieve not the Holy Spirit. And it says here in Alma, in the 19th chapter, in the 8th verse, that the only unpardonable sin is to deny that Spirit of the Lord when we have had been given the gift and we know that we have denied it. So this tells me that this is something important to the Lord. That there are all these things, you know, that we can do in this life that are horrible, absolutely horrible. And we can be forgiven of them. Not that we don't have to stand and be judged of those things, to have the consequences of those actions and those decisions in our life, because we do. We have to have that. But we can be forgiven of all those different things of life. But we cannot be forgiven of denying the Holy Ghost. It tells me that the Lord considers this gift extremely important. He tells us not to defile it. He tells us not to grieve it and not to deny it. This gift that has been given to each of us in our life, because it is important, I think that we need to pay attention to it more, to avail ourselves of it more, to read about and understand it, and to know what the Lord's will is concerning it. Let's read some scriptures concerning being in tune with this Holy Spirit. Like we've been talking about, it's important that each one of us feel that Holy Spirit working in our lives, see it, its guiding influence in our lives, that we renew that Spirit, we partake of the sacrament when we have opportunity, and that we are in tune with it. Let's start out in 1 Kings, 19th chapter. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. In the Old Testament, book of 1 Kings, I'm going to go to chapter 19. I'm going to start in verse 11. In verse 11 it says, "And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains, and brake it into pieces the rocks, before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard of it, he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou hear, Elijah?" This is telling us, not that the Lord can't, you know, show forth a great sign, because he can. All power is given to him in heaven and earth. He can show himself in an earthquake or a fire or a wind or whatever the case may be. But a lot of times, more oftentimes than not, it's a still small voice that speaks to our heart. And our heart has to be open to hear it, because our eyes are going to be seeing the wind and the earthquake and the fire and the things physical. But our heart has to be in tune with the things spiritual, that we don't overlook, we don't disregard that still small voice that speaks to our heart, to our mind. I know in my life, a lot of times I've seen mighty miracles. I've seen things that are not explainable by science or anything that a human can speak. But the things that come to me in my remembrance and the things that keep me fast and cement me to this gospel are those times when I've heard the Lord's voice, or I felt the impression of his Spirit upon my heart telling me to do something or not to do something. Those are the times that you have to be in tune to hear it. Because, as it said, it's a still and it's a small voice. And it's our responsibility. You know, the buck's on us. It stops right here. It's our responsibility to have our hearts and minds quieted enough that we can hear it, that we're not distracted, that we can hear it, that we come to opportunities like a sacrament service. We have the opportunity. You know, we have the Lord's undivided attention for as long as we want to be here. We come and we enjoy the peace, the quiet, we partake of the emblems, that we wait for the leading of the Spirit, that if he causes us to testify, we testify, to sing, we sing, to preach. Our services are guided by the Holy Spirit, and we have to be in tune with it. And part of that is having our hearts free from distractions, to have our minds open, to have our hearts ready to receive that still small voice, that just tiny pinprick upon our heart. And that's something that in my life, you know, a lot of times, like I was saying, I overlook. That's part of the gift of the Holy Spirit, that I just somehow, I get busy or whatever, distracted, and I overlook. Being in tune with the Holy Spirit is listening to his still small voice. Let's go to Moroni in the 10th chapter. read a few verses in the 10th chapter, starting in verse 8. And again, I exhort you, my brethren, that ye deny not the gifts of God, for they are many, and they come from the same God. And there are different ways that these gifts are administered, but it is the same God which worketh in all in all. And they are given by the manifestation of the Spirit unto God, unto men, to profit them. For behold, to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the words of wisdom, to another that he may teach the words of knowledge, by the same Spirit, and to another exceeding great faith, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And again to another that he may work mighty miracles, and again to another that he may prophesy concerning all things, and again to another the beholdings of angels and ministerings of spirits, and again to another all kinds of tongues, and again to another the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according to as he will. And I will exhort you, my brethren, behold, that ye remember that every good gift cometh from Christ. And I will exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye may remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Once again, the buck stops right here with each one of us. These are the things that the Lord desires to give to us through his Holy Spirit. These are the gifts. We desire to see miracles. We desire to see the lame walk, the blind have their sight, the deaf hear. We desire to see these things, to have prophecies, to know of things concerning the future, personally in our lives, as a church, where we should go, what we should do. We desire guidance and direction. And it tells us that those things that happen in the past, in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, the mighty miracles, the dividing of the Red Sea, all these different things that we read about and we see and we hear in Sunday school and as we grow up, and we think, wow, that's amazing. These things are available to us today. In that scripture, it tells us. It says we have to look at ourselves. If we don't see these things amongst ourselves, then it's because of us that we need to strengthen our faith and our belief, and we need to be in tune to the Spirit of God. That if he desires to say, so-and-so, go do this, prophesy to these people, stand on the street corner and tell the things to come, that we're in tune with it. If he desires us to be an example to others, whatever the case may be, that our hearts, our minds are in tune with the will of God. That these gifts that we desire are there for us, they're extended out. And I'm a very visual person, and in my imagination, I can see the Lord reaching out from heaven with these gifts in his hand, these miracles in his hand, and he desiring for us, you know, beckoning just like a child, you know, come and get it, child that's learning how to walk, you know, come and get this toy, or come to dad, or come to mom. And that's us. And we have to get up and walk. And we have to be in tune and focused upon the Lord and ready to receive those things. So that's a desire. That's a desire of my heart, that my faith is strengthened, that I become more in tune with the Lord, that if he desires me to do things in my life, that I'd be willing to do it. Another scripture is found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. One more aspect of being in tune. Ephesians chapter 6, a scripture that is very familiar to each one of us. It's been in camp themes and studies and discussions. Chapter 6, we're going to read one verse. Let's see. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That we come to the place, spiritually in our walk with the Lord, that our sword, the sword of the Spirit, is sharp. That we study the scriptures, that we are in tune enough with the Lord and his Spirit, that we can sit down and we can study and we can have questions, and the Lord can answer us, and he can direct us and guide us in our life. These are my desires, and I intended on going on and talking about peace, because it is an aspect of the Lord's Spirit. One of my favorite scriptures is found, I don't remember exactly where it's at, but it tells us that In Philippians, the fourth chapter, it tells us that he has given us a peace that the world can't understand. And that's a part of his spirit. And something that is important in our lives. That in times of trial and trouble, tribulation, that we know we have that spirit of peace that is extended to us. That no matter what happens to us, that we have that peace of mind and sound mind, knowing that our eternal salvation is assured. So today I think I'm going to close with that. And I hope that each one of us can take time in our lives to contemplate, to consider these things, to know and to remember that the Lord has offered to each one of us a gift that is priceless, has no value can be set upon it because it is so valuable, that each one of us have that personal relationship with God and a portion of his spirit to be an abiding comforter, to be a director, a teacher, to be a voice of reason, to be a conscience. That is given to us, and that we avail ourselves of it, that we don't let that gift be shoved aside, be stepped on and broken and put away and forgotten, that the Lord's Spirit works in each one of us. Thank you for your time.